what is the one thing that you know if you did today, it would move the needle, right? You don't have to know the whole roadmap. What is the one thing that if you did it today, you would have taken a step forward?
What if your biggest barrier to business success wasn't money or time, but your mindset? Welcome to Behind Their Success. Today's guest is Devin Gonzalez. He has built a national fitness empire from scratch, turning discipline in the gym into success in the boardroom. He's an author, a franchise founder, and a real motivator with actionable advice for entrepreneurs ready for transformation. I'm super excited to have him on my podcast. I was on his recently, which is a great show. Devin, welcome on Behind Their Success.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to run it back and, you know, flip the script real quick.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, you know, I've gotten to know a little bit about you being on your show. So tell the listeners, you know, who's Devin? Where'd you kind of come from? And give us your story a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been in the fitness industry for, you know, about 15 years, and it all started from, I'm sure most of us, you know, that, you know, went to school, or if you didn't go to school, like you're trying to still figure out what you're going to do. But like I was in college and I went to, you know, I was in a business major, right? And I feel like, you know, business admin, is kind of the declared undeclared,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I was in business school. Totally understand.
And so I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I was like, well, this degree I can pretty much do anything. And then throughout my college career, I was working as a personal trainer at, you know, a corporate gym. And I was like, wait, there's a whole study on this, and learned about kinesiology. And I was like, that seems way more fun. And I was actually in an accounting class. And I had it at 8 a.m. and having to drive, you know, to school, and I was falling asleep. I was like, I can't, like, there's no way, like, I can't do four more years of this or three more years of this. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's not for me. But I was like, this kinesiology thing, now that seems pretty fun. Right. And yeah, there was still math and there was still all that kind of stuff. But since I was interested in it, it didn't really seem like school to me. Yeah. But my job and everything as a personal trainer, I was telling everyone still, like, this is a perfect college job. Didn't really think anything much of it until it came to the end of college. And my parents were like, now you need to get a real job. And it's like, okay. So started going the firefighter route, got my EMT cert and all that kind of stuff. And then I had the realization, I was like, I don't even want to do that. Like, it, yeah, it's a stable job and everything, but like, I'd rather just take my chance and bet on myself and see what I can do with this, with personal training. Like, I'm already making six figures. Like, you know, why not just keep exploring this? And so that was that first step into solopreneurship, you know, launching my own personal training company. At that point, left the corporate gym, and it really took off. I mean, I had, you know, for 4 years was a private trainer and was doing really well. And then it was like, okay, well, what's next? And that's where the slow birth of Strive 11 came in. And essentially, you know, COVID hit. And that's when we ended up launching on the tail end of COVID. We opened our first gym in 2021. And then 2 years later, you know, hired a franchise advisor. And, you know, I'll dive into my thoughts on that too, because I think that's where people get kind of confused and stuff with getting mentors and stuff. But hired a franchise advisor, and he gave me amazing insights, and we launched the franchise, and now we have, you know, a location in Tampa, we have another location in Texas, and we have a couple more that should be onboarding soon as well.
Very cool. So, entrepreneur minded guy, right? Like, so you certainly weren't satisfied with the just the personal training piece. You could see that there was maybe something bigger there for you. In my mind, you're kind of acting like a solopreneur there, running your trainer, you know, your training program and stuff. And then you made this, you know, the major shift to doing like franchising, right? That's a huge, huge shift. What do you think was like the biggest mindset shift you had to make from going from like a solo trainer to, you know, ultimately owning gyms, and then even to the next level of franchising gyms?
There's like two mindset shifts. You know, I tell people, especially with being a trainer and then opening up the gym and hiring a team and all that kind of stuff before launching the franchise, because when you're a solopreneur, if everything goes wrong, it's your fault, right? And if everything goes right, it's a result of you. But when you have a team, if things are going wrong, it's not their fault. It's your fault. And that was one of the lessons I had to kind of learn too, was it's okay for them to make mistakes. And they're going to make mistakes. And instead of you just taking over and, you know, doing something because it takes you 5 minutes, it takes them 15 minutes. Like, that means every time that that thing or that, you know, event comes up, you're going to have to do it instead of letting them become better at it, get faster at it. And then now they're doing it at 5 minutes. So it's like, you need to be able to delegate. If you don't delegate, you're not going to grow. Right. Yeah. And that was that first shift in realizing that you can't give 100% to every aspect of the business. So when your team comes on and in your eyes, maybe they only do it 80% to 80% of your capabilities. Well, 80% compared to your 5%, because you're spread so thin, is going to outperform what you were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And they're 80%, like, you know, that's their baseline, right? Hopefully that's not where they end. Right. You know, they continue to grow and get better and better. And you're right. As I've grown my business and grown a team, I wasn't very good at that. Right? Because I've always been that solo guy and doing all my thing. And but you're right. Like, I, by not delegating through my career, I built this big bottleneck that nothing happened unless I touched it or it came through me. And, you know, in the beginning, as like kind of a control freak and solopreneur guy, like, that was okay because I knew I could do it kind of excellently. But then you hit a ceiling where you're stuck unless you, you know, you figure out how to delegate or use technology or whatever to reproduce yourself.
Exactly. And that's where I think too, like, to kind of piggyback off of that is like, you have to kind of force your team to make those decisions so you're not micromanaging. And what I mean by that is, like, sometimes I have two managers that, you know, run my gym for me. And one of them has been with me since we pretty much opened, right? And he knows pretty much what I would say for everything. And so sometimes he'll call me with a problem and I'm like, yo, I'm busy. And maybe I'm not busy, right? But I'm like, you know, figure it out. Just let me know. We'll talk about it later. And I just want to force him to make a decision. And then we talk about it. And I'm like, so what was the result? And I was like, honestly, that was actually better than I would have done. Like, you know, so it's like sometimes you force them to grow and now they take ownership of whatever the result is because it was their decision.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, anybody listening, it's on the other side of that, right? Like, even if you're not a leader, say you're, you know, a member of a team, it's like, you know, as the leader, like, I want people on my team that bring me, okay, here's the problem and here's three solutions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or three things to consider, right? So it's like, if you're discovering problems in the business, right? And maybe it's not your business. It's trying to bring solutions with the problem to a leader, right? And once again, it comes back to, you know, we go back to delegating again. It's like, it's taking the time to train somebody, right? Like, slow down, right? Where it takes you 2 minutes to do something, but it'll take you 15 minutes for me to teach Devin to do whatever I'm doing. And that's a cost. But at the same time, like, that's an investment, right? It's mm-hmm. a cost one time. And then you get that 5 minutes back forever, right? Every time that comes up again. So it's really thinking about your future self and buying back future time by delegating. It sucks. And it's just like investing, right? Like, you got to give up money now to hopefully have bigger payoffs in the future.
Exactly, 100%.
So opening up your gym, like, at what point, Devin, did you think, man, you know, Strive 11 can be a national brand and we can franchise this thing?
To be honest, that was always my goal, for not for the sake of, like, honestly, anything business related, nothing financial related, anything, because that's never been my driving force. It was more to prove to not only to myself, but to anyone that, you know, knows me or follows me or anything like that, that you could be part of the few, right? You just have to put the work in. Coming from a personal trainer, and because you always hear those stories, right? And unless you know that person, like, it's a story. So I wanted to be that proof for people that you can go from trainer to, you know, franchise owner and founder, and that's not something that's absurd, right? It's not going to be easy, right? And definitely it's a lot harder than I anticipated. Yeah. But it's one of those things where, like, that was always the game plan. And so with creating Strive 11 Fitness, that was something that I was very careful of when starting with the first gym, was like, okay, if we do it this way, can I do this at 100 locations? Is this something that's, you know, we can copy and paste? And if not, then we didn't add that on or add that service in, because that was one of the big things, that it's a lot harder to, you know, try to change something that might be the main money factor. And if it's like, you can't replicate it, or you are the main money factor being a solopreneur, you can't replicate yourself.
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah.
You know,
the advantage you had is that you had that goal early. Because, like, you think about it, if you had gotten into training and not necessarily, you know, and I don't know that you had this goal on the very first day you started training, but, like, you had it early enough that you knew that I actually need to start building towards that, right? Like, you would have built your first gym way different if you didn't know I was going to franchise that, right? Because you wouldn't worry about scaling and all those things wouldn't be necessarily on your mind. And the thing is, you could have built a decent solo gym there, but then you would have had to break everything if you were going to have to, you know, you'd have to rebuild the whole thing again if you're going to ultimately franchise that. Because, like, you know, I see people talk about franchising and getting into franchise, and it's like, oh, my business, you know, I got a restaurant, I can franchise that or whatnot. Like, I don't think you understand how extremely hard that is. Mm-hmm. Because the whole franchise model is to, like, hey, guys, we have this business model so down pat that it's so good. Like, you know, we have all the answers to how you run this business that you can just come in and buy this and implement this model, right? And that's really where you need to get to as a franchise, to where it's like, hey, here's the model, you know, investor that wants to buy the franchise, like, this thing, you just follow the model, right? It works, right? And the vast majority of businesses are nowhere near, and systems and SOPs and all those things even begin to think about doing so.
No, and that's the big thing too. Like, you're 100% right. Like, before Strive 11, like, believe me, I mean, there was, and this goes, if you're a solopreneur trying to level up and you know, whether you're getting a business partner or anything like that, realize that there's going to be ups and downs with that too, because there's probably 3 years where, you know, different business, potential business partners or potential investors, and that roller coaster was unforgiving. And then finally it was like, you know, okay, I'm just gonna do this on my own. And then the stars kind of aligned, and one of my clients wanted to invest in the idea once I had the Strive 11 idea, because before it was just going to be a regular gym. You know, I didn't have this franchise, you know, idea or anything like that. It was just like, let's build a gym. So luckily with that whole roller coaster, it led me to the creation of Strive 11, seeing all these other gyms popping up and it's the same brand. I was like, man, how do you create one of those? Like, you know, something that is, you know, a franchise. And then I was like, okay, well, thinking about it, a lot of these gyms are just copy and paste. You know, it's like this brand A,
local marketing, right?
Yeah, exactly. But like brand A and brand B are pretty much the same, different logos and different paints on the wall. I was like, that's not what I want. Like, I want to be completely different. And so that's where Strive 11 was starting to, you know, be formed, got the investor and everything. And then it was like, okay, now we have to think about this differently. Just because someone else does it one way doesn't mean we're going to do it that same way. Like, even for our franchise model, we have our two franchisees on. I have three more that are in the pipeline right now. Whether they come on or not, I'm not going to be bringing any more franchises on after I hit five, right? So the reason for that is I'm going to take there's a pause in it so that I can get all five up going steady and then essentially open up again. And so there's another pause at 15. So like, my roadmap has those in it. As counterintuitive that sounds to like business growth, I think it's more important to have like a stable foundation as you grow.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, that's prudent to understand that, because rapid growth kills businesses all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Because they can't execute on it. And then you lose quality and then you kill the brand. And I think the most prudent thing you're doing there is, like, you've already thought about that, right? Or you have a roadmap. I heard you say the word roadmap. It's not just grow to no end. You have stop points. You have, you know what I mean? You've just thought through that. And a lot of people, well, they just haven't. It's important.
Yeah. And I think that with the roadmap thing too, is like, believe me, I mean, I don't know if you're like this, but I mean, I'm one of the entrepreneurs that has diagnosed ADD, ADHD.
And we all got problems,
you know? And so it's like, but so ideas and variations and, you know, cool things we can add all come to mind all the time.
Yeah.
But I literally put it on the roadmap, right? So it's like, you know, there's a time and place for it. Right. You know, launching our own supplement line, launching, you know, a different variation of the franchise model so they can do A or B, you know, like a personal training style, a licensing model, like all those things are integrated into it. But it's like, if you start to shift your focus too much, then you're not focused on the one thing that's going to get you to any of the other things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's becomes, well, you know, a guy in the gym space, Hormozy, talks about the woman in the red dress. Like, it's always distractions. The more you rise in business, the more opportunities you see that are available that you could theoretically execute, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, you can't execute on everything. There's just no way. And everything becomes prioritizing and picking, okay, what problem should I be solving to get whatever I ultimately am trying to do here? But all of us as entrepreneurs, we try to grab every part of the market. We're distracted. We're doing 10,000 different things because we are all this like ADHD type people. We just try to do too much, and we're never really good at anything in specific.
Are you looking for a new tax experience? Looking for an advisor that actually brings you high-level ideas and proactively plans so you aren't overpaying your taxes? Or how about one that even just responds and communicates in a timely fashion? If any of that resonates with you, you probably just have a tax preparer and not a tax planner. And it is through the tax planning process where all the value is found. I'm Peyton Squires. I'm a CPA and owner of WR Tax Planners. We work alongside entrepreneurs and high-income earners, helping them pay the least amount of income taxes, both legally and ethically. We have saved our clients hundreds of thousands of dollars through specific strategies, and we guarantee we can find multiple tax-saving strategies that your current tax preparer hasn't told you about. If that interests you, head on over to the contact page at PeytonSquires.com. There you can fill out a contact form and get a call booked to see what it would look like to have WR Tax Planners on your team.
So, setbacks. I'm sure you didn't have any setbacks, Devin. I'm sure this thing rocketed right to a few gems, right? Yeah. No problems along the way. So how do you, just thinking back through some of the setbacks you had on your journey, like how did your setbacks early in business really influence you as a leader today?
Taking one of my core values, personal core values, is extracting the lesson, right? And that's from anything in life, relationships, all kind of stuff. And so I think setbacks, right? There's no failures. There's only lessons. And I mean, I had a recent setback, that was probably my biggest one mentally, which was essentially my business partner who started the business with me. I convinced him to leave his corporate job to come help me start Strive. He was actually one of my clients, and he became a trainer and all that kind of stuff. And actually this year, a few months ago, he basically was like, I need a more low frequency life. Like, this is too much stress. This is too much, going on. And I was like, okay, what are we saying here? Let's talk about it. And essentially he was just like, look, this just isn't for me. I just want to clock in, clock out and do your thing. And I was like, we can create that here. And he was like, no. I just want to clock in, clock out, not be an owner. And I was like, okay. And so we had a talk and stuff, and me and him are still good friends. But then it was like, all of a sudden you have this vision of what the end looks like and who's going to be there with you. And now all of a sudden you start questioning everything. So at the same time, then it was that mindset shift for myself was like, okay, is the business going to crumble right now? No. Do we need to focus or dwell on this? Can I change anything about this? No. Right. So then it's like, okay, let's focus on the task at hand. And that's one of my biggest things with any setback or any lessons. Like, if I can't change anything about it right now, if there's no one I can call, there's nothing I can do, then I don't worry about it because there's too many other things to worry about and stress about and, do. So it's like, I focus on the task at hand, the bridge in front of me, and that's all I focus on. Otherwise, you're going to just be stressed out thinking about every what if. And most of the time, a lot of the what ifs don't even happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's fear, right? Like, fear is just a made up thing in our head, right? You can have faith that something's going to work out, or you can have fear that it's not. Literally, both of them are made up in your head. Mm-hmm. And it's really just whichever one you choose to believe. And just as human nature, right, and wired for survival, we're all negatively biased, right? Or our bodies are designed to just keep us alive and to survive, and not necessarily to thrive and accomplish things. So we're always tilted to negativeness, and that's really hard to, skip past sometimes for people. Scaling a business, right? You're talking about, you had a business partner that you guys kind of split and weren't necessarily going down the same road together there. Like, how do you balance, how do you balance that, your personal life with trying to scale this business?
I mean, balance is a funny word, right? And I think so many people that are coming into entrepreneurship think balance means like a seesaw and it has to be balanced at 50-50. That's not the case in any entrepreneur's life. But my balance and your balance are going to be different, right? And so, and it'll be different than the next person. You have to find what works for you, right? And so at least the good thing I had was me and my wife started dating when I was a personal trainer. So I still worked, 16-hour days, training clients. Like, I was a busy personal trainer, right? And so she was used to the crazy schedule all the time. But now it's one of those things where my balance is when I do get home or I am with my family, like, my phone isn't accessible to anyone, right? Like, my managers can text me and stuff like that. But if it's family time, like, I let them know, like, I'll text you when I can. You know, yeah. That's the one thing you have to dedicate your time and almost like put your hat on for each place. Like when you're in work, when you're at work, you put your work hat on, you focus on work stuff. When you're at home, you focus on home. When you're on a date with your significant other, you focus on them, right? And that's the one thing, is giving each person or thing the attention that it needs when you're there. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's so easy today, right? And technology and so easy to be connected and I don't remember who exactly said it, but like, it's like, be wherever your feet are. Mm-hmm. Just be wherever you are and be present, right? Mm-hmm. And you're right, too. Like, the word balance, I'm not a huge fan of the word balance. Like, what is balance? To me, saying balance is like, okay, well, intentionally decide mm-hmm. what you want your days to look like, what you want your time spent to look like, and then work towards that, right? Like, mm-hmm. to me, that is balance, or finding your balance, right? So you're aligned and, you know, working and being in the spaces that are important to you. Literally, like you said, only you can decide that.
My one thing, or like how my priorities come, is it's family first, then business, right? And even with my business partner, I told him this too, is like, family is always first. If something comes up, like, handle it, we'll figure it out, or vice versa. And even with my team, like, if something comes up to their family, like, go handle your family. Like, we'll figure out the business. The family is more important. And so my days, typically my balance though, is like, I'm at the gym anywhere from 5 a.m. to, you know, 7 a.m. I'll be in the gym because I have my office is in the gym, because I have tried the work from home thing and home office, and I needed the separation. Like, I couldn't do one of those home office things. It was just driving me nuts being in the same place all day long. But I work until, you know, let's say 5, you know, sometimes 9 p.m. But then when I do go home, then it's like family time until everyone goes to sleep at 9. And then if I do need to finish work, then I work more at home. Then I bring a laptop and, you know, do whatever I need to do after the fact. Right. So there's separation throughout, and there's, you know, I just plan my day ahead of time. So like, my whole day today is planned. My whole week, actually, this week is planned. And if you're trying to figure out what you're going to do today and accomplish today, as the day is coming, you're not going to accomplish much.
Yeah. If you don't have control of your schedule, somebody else will have control of your schedule, right? Yeah. Or, you know, and by that I mean you're just reacting to whatever comes at you then, right? And mm-hmm. and yeah, man, you know, entrepreneurs, if you don't have a calendar, my goodness, get a calendar. Today's technology and Google and everything, like, it's free and easy. But mm-hmm. like, yeah, if you don't and I'm speaking to myself because I'm not perfect at this, but if you don't draw bright lines in between, like, okay, this is what I do at this time, this is what I do at this time, and it gives yourself clarity, it gives your own brain clarity of knowing that, okay, I'm not all anxious or whatever because I know that I'm doing this now, next I'm going to do this and this, and it's just general organizing, and you have control, right? Like, whatever you need to get done, block it off on the calendar, you can work on it at that time, and nothing else faces that. Exactly. But it's getting organized, it's getting intentional, and just drawing the lines, not compromising.
Yeah.
So fitness, you know, I love the place of fitness. Fitness has certainly changed my life dramatically. Me getting into my fitness routine for the last 5 years has changed my life from just confidence and everything on down the line. But what role does physical fitness really have in your life as like a business and a leader? And how do you wrap that all together?
I mean, fitness has always had a place in my life. You know, I started weightlifting at 13, and, you know, hopefully you guys know what this is. You know, if anyone's super young listening to this, Google it. But, you know, my dad used to have VHS tapes, right? And they were like bodybuilding, like with Arnold and, you know, some of the other Olympic people. So I was watch the videos at home, write notes, and then go to the gym and, you know, try to do it. And so I've always loved working out. Right. And weightlifting and stuff. But then I was also a martial arts instructor, and that built my self-confidence. And you realize that there's so many different aspects. It's not just physical, but there's a mental aspect to it as well. And seeing people and seeing so many different members and clients change their lives and what it's instilled in them, their self-confidence, their self-belief, right? Their essentially skill of dedication and building consistency, it translates into other areas of your life. That's what I love about fitness is, and especially being in the fitness business, you know, it's like you start to learn all the same skills being physically fit that you need to apply to a relationship, to a business, to everything else. dedication, you know, in showing up every single day, whether you feel like it or not. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, right? You know, whether if you're on a weight loss journey, you think you lost weight, all of a sudden it plateaued. Well, sometimes your business plateaus when you thought you're going up in revenue. And that's just the one thing I love, the symbolization between the two, that they're so similar and you can correlate one to the other back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100% agree. It's like a great microcosm for life of just like the struggle and the pushing through and the plateaus and the consistency and discipline. And it's like, to me, it's like, it's such a tangible, like, reminder of all those things. Like, I feel like life is just like that. But like when you do it in the gym and stuff, it's like you get the physical, you know, outplay, like you can see it, right? Now it takes time, right? Just like with anything, it takes time to see those changes, but you actually just keep stepping, like you get to tangibly see those changes. And it's amazing, like what, like you said, what physical fitness can do for a mindset, and a routine and confidence and all those things. It's, to me, it's like a cheat code, especially in today's world. Where a lot of people aren't, you know what I mean? A lot of people aren't necessarily prioritizing that.
No, definitely. And I think, and like what I like to tell people too, especially because, you know, we have it's a scale, it's an in-body scale. I don't know if you've ever done one, but
yeah.
So like it measures your muscle mass, your, you know, body fat and everything. And I tell people, you know, try to do it every 2 weeks or every month, right? Because the traditional, you know, way of, let's say a trainer tells their client, you should be looking good, feeling good, and whatever. Like, we want to know numbers just like, you know, your finance numbers. But the hardest thing to do is you show up to the gym on day one, right? You give it your all. And then you wake up the next day and you look in the mirror and there's no change, yep. Right? But then you go to the gym again, day two, give it your all. Wake up day three, still no change, right? Yep. And so it is the hardest thing to do when those small micro changes aren't visible, to continue to push yourself and have that self-motivation to drag yourself to the gym. And then all of a sudden, all those little micro changes compound into a macro change. And that's what you end up seeing.
Yeah. I've heard it described of like being a pinata, right? Like, you know, you swing and swing and swing. And like that pinata is like breaking, like micro, like breaking, right? But like you see no results, right? And then finally somebody swings and it busts open. Was it that swing that really busted open? Or was it, you know what I mean, all the swings combined that ultimately busted open? And you can't get to that last swing if you don't do the, you know, the ones before. And that's where it comes back to faith again, right, too, right? It's like you talk about faith and actions, and like you have to have the faith to, you know, to keep continuing the actions when the results aren't there yet. And understanding that is such a huge thing. And that's everything in life. Fitness is just a tiny little example of how that works, that you have to do before you become, right? You have to do, and then you become that person. I mean, you need to believe you are that person, then do it, and then you certainly become that person. And I wish people understood that at a deeper level.
No, exactly. And that's why I love that pinata analogy. Like, I'm a big analogy person, and I'm definitely going to use that one. That one's awesome.
I stole it from, I think, in my lab, maybe in the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. See, that's a good one. But it's, my thing is too, is like, you're not special, right? You're not special enough for it to work out for other people. Like, you've seen other people get the results. You're not special enough for it not to work out for you if you do all the things that you know you need to do. For it to work out for other people, like you're seeing other people attain the results that you want, right? Or become successful. You're not special enough for it not to work out for you if you do all of the things necessary that you know you need to do, whether you feel like doing them or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think people fall in that trap a little bit, to where they're like, hey, I'm this weird special situation where these things just don't work for me. Right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I would agree with you. The vast majority of the time, you know, yes, there's one-offs and crazy things, but the vast majority of the time, you're not, you know what I mean? These things work universally, right? Like, it's a lie we tell ourselves to get us out of actually doing the stuff we don't want to do.
Right, exactly.
So what, like, tangible, practical first step would you give the aspiring entrepreneur? Like, what would you tell them first step to take to just kind of move to improve their mindset, you know, and ultimately jump into the game?
I mean, if you're aspiring and trying to jump into the game, is what is the one thing that you know if you did today, it would move the needle, right? You don't have to know the whole roadmap, right? And you might have done this too, right? Where you write out a whole business plan and then all of a sudden you get into business and it doesn't even go half.
You didn't know enough to even begin to write it. Thank you. Exactly. Realize.
So it's like, what is the one thing that if you did it today, you would have taken a step forward? Just do it. Right. That's all it is. Like, you don't know what the next step is until that step is accomplished. And most times we try to find out the next five steps, but you end up missing a couple steps in between. So it's like, just do what you can see. Right. I mean, I have a 3-year-old and a 1-month-old. My 3-year-old watches Frozen, and in it, you know, she's talking about, you know, just take the one step, and because they're walking through the forest. Like, that's what I try to allude it to every single time. It's like, just be like, you know, Elsa from Frozen. Just take the one step that you can see.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is. And that's why I'm not huge into like long strategic planning and all those things. Like, to me, you can't really plan more than 3 to 6 months out. And in the dynamic world that we live in, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying don't have like a longer term vision that you're working towards. I'm just saying like getting extremely granular on the detailed steps of what you're going to be doing 2 years from now. Like, my opinion, you have no idea what you're going to do 2 years from now, like what specific step you're going to be working on, right? So it's like, I get, you know, as the analytical guy and whatever, like business planning to me is like multiple year business planning to me is just like made up tarot card reading stuff, but like, but 30 to 60 days out, okay, you know, that's long enough. I can do actionable steps, things, and I have a bigger vision in mind that I'm working towards. It's just like, okay, I can only detail out so far, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too. Like, I agree with you. Like, I think that, you know, setting a multi-year business goal is almost like betting, like a sports betting a parlay, right? And it's like that rarely does it work that way. But at the same time, like, you can set a year goal, and I guarantee if you start doing the things that you want to hit that year goal, you'll accomplish it before a year ends, right? Yeah. You'll do it. You can do it in 6. So if you break it down, like, what's the end goal? Okay, well, if I did this every quarter, I'd be on track. If that's a goal for every quarter, then every month I need to hit this. And you just break it down to where you can see it. And then you just focus on, okay, this week, this is what I need to do to hit this week's goal.
Yeah. And then you have a tangible thing that you can execute on a daily basis, because our mind can't think, okay, I have this big goal out in the future. How do I get to that? Mm-hmm. Well, our mind needs us to break it all the way down. And it's like, this is what you need to do today. And right. You can do it tomorrow and do it consistently. And like you said, like, you can, you know, once again, going back to the Alex Hormozi guy, like you can break down the numbers of what you need to do to get exactly what you want. And here's the thing. You can add more activity to that and add so much activity that it would be like unreasonable for you not to hit your goal. Mm-hmm. And you can do that. I mean, it requires massive action, likely, but it absolutely is just a math equation if you're willing to actually do what you need to do to accomplish it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the hard part. And people don't realize that, even like, people want to become an entrepreneur because they think all of a sudden you get, you know, all your time back, and it's not like, if you get out what you put in, if you don't put in the effort, you're not going to get out the result of the time freedom and all the other kind of stuff that you want.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Devin, man, I appreciate you, man. This has been a great conversation. What's the best way people can get to know more about you, Strive 11, just everything that Devin's got going on?
Strive 11. You can just go to strive11fitness.com. I mean, all the social medias are Strive 11 Fitness. Myself, you know, I just created a single hub, just devingonzalez.com, that has pretty much just everything about me and all my stuff on it, just to make it easy. But yeah, I mean, if you guys have any questions or anything like that, feel free to shoot me a DM. Easiest way to contact me. More than happy to help anyone that I can.
Yeah, absolutely, Devin. Any last piece, parting of advice for the listeners?
Just remember, you're not special, right? That's my big thing, is like, just take the one step that you need to do today. Right. And then plan the steps that you're going to take tomorrow. Right. And if you could do 3 steps and execute 3 things tomorrow, then you're going to be on the track to undeniable results. Right. Just, you don't need to overwhelm yourself and, you know, do 10 different things. Like, if you do more, awesome. But your goal is to hit, let's say, 3.
Yeah. Yeah. And you take those first 3 steps, like you said, and then more gets illuminated. You can mm-hmm. see better. You have a better perspective at that point. And then you have the perspective to solve the next 3. And then it's success is just stringing those days in a row for as long as possible.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you found it valuable, please rate, review, and share it. That is the best way to help us build this and reach more people. As we're trying to accomplish our goal of help creating more healthy, wealthy, and wise entrepreneurs. You can follow us on social media by searching for me, Peyton Squires, or going to PeytonSquires.com. On the website and social media, we're always sharing tips of personal growth, and there we can actually interact. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.